is Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Dave Wyman and Bob Stelton.
Welcome, everybody. It is Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle, a very abbreviated edition of Wyman and Bob. Mariners game taking some time, but it was worth it, Dave, because they won. They won 8-4. We're going to talk about this game. We'll talk about what took place last night as well. Coming up in this very brief hour of Wyman and Bob, we've got this. We've got Ryan Roland Smith coming up next. We'll talk to him. We'll talk to John Clayton. So this hour's packed. We've already got it packed.
Yes, we do, and it's really exciting watching the Mariners today, and I just I miss that. I miss us being here last year. You know, you had the abbreviated season, and then just being in the sports pit, and everybody watching the tube, and it's just it's cool. And as Mike Lefkoe pointed out, they got better in this series as it went on, and you know, 8-4. You know, that was just a huge, great performance by the Mariners, and I think my favorite scene was Taylor Trammell running across home plate. He was like a little kid.
Yeah, high knees.
Doing the high knees.
Looked like he was going through an obstacle course or something. Yeah. And, he was just super excited. Well, let's start with the good. We'll get to the good and the bad of this game, and then, again, we'll touch on what happened last night. But they win 8-4, and this is part of the bad, is Justin Dunn goes out there, 4 2/3, gives up 3 earned runs, 8 walks in this game.
Yeah.
I don't know how many times a team is going to be able to win when your starting pitcher walks 8. So the fact that he was able to, he showed some guile out there to work his way out of some situations despite his lack of command, despite maybe being squeezed a bit on the strike zone. He was able to overcome that. Not a great day. I'm not trying to say that, but the damage was minimal. 3 runs on 8 walks is pretty minimal, so you'll take that. But what was great is to see the offense come alive, see the offense kind of bail him out and really give them some breathing room, putting up 8 runs in this game where they've been dominated by the starting pitching of the White Sox. So that, to me, was just as a whole, before we get into individuals, was fantastic to see.
Yeah, well, they picked him up, and Kyle Seager, 3-for-4, 3 RBIs, really did a good job with that. But yeah, you're right. It's nice to see them win in different kinds of ways. You know, their opening day win was being prudent at the plate and being, you know, making some plays in key situations. But for this young team, able to come back from that. And no, Justin Dunn, I mean, as bad as it was, it just seemed like he never got entirely rattled or anything. He just kind of hung in there. And, boy, that was a lot of walks, though. And I know I was thinking about you because, you know, on the way in, there was the one inning he had, too, where he ran into Marmolejos. He ends up, I think, making the catch. But, you know, it was just like he was entirely disjointed, but never felt like he was just going to fall apart and have a panic attack for a young guy. So it was kind of nice to see.
Yeah, it was interesting because he started out rough with command. Then I think the third and fourth inning, he just mowed through him. 3 up, 3 down. You're like, oh, my goodness. Okay, he's found his rhythm. And then it went away again. But just the ability to battle back and do what they did. Again, we talked about this, that this is going to be an up-and-down season. You're going to see a lot of fluctuation in performances with all of this youth. That's the one thing that's a certainty, is the uncertainty of it, the inconsistency of it all. And to see, On a day where Mitch Haniger, who's been your guy, doesn't come up with a hit, he's 0-for-3 on the day, and you could argue, despite Kyle Seager 3-for-4, the key at bat was Ty France. Yeah. Ty France goes up there and works an 11-pitch walk, 11 pitches, forcing that pitcher to work and just battle 95 miles an hour up in the zone, and he's getting around on it, making contact, fouling ball after ball after ball off, and it was just a huge at bat. To me, that was one of the key there. There were multiple, but to see that happen, Trammell comes up with a number with his second hit, which was great to see because he'd really, really been struggling. He's swung and missed a lot so far. It's only 6 games, but that had to be a relief for him.
How many pitch at bat did he have when he got that walk?
8.
Was it 8 in the opener? Yeah, just that's one of the more impressive things to see, and especially from younger guys. But you're right, the piece of hitting from Ty France, you know, just he's so good at the plate and so good at laying off pitches. batting 318 right now. So really, really, that was that trade with San Diego was turning out to be fantastic with Luis Torrens as well.
Yeah.
And yeah, he's
France and Tremel.
Yep. Yep. It's been great. So yeah, Ty France is everything as advertised. You know, a lot of times you see, we always talk about Shannon making his new name Ty, he can really hit France. And you hear all that hype coming out of spring training. You think, yeah, well, we'll see about that. So far, it's been fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, he kind of hit as soon as he hit the ground here last year. He hit over 300, hit exactly what he did in San Diego for the first half. And if that, you know what this trade feels like to me is the trade they made with Arizona when they got back Gene Segura and they got back Haniger, who we didn't really know anything about.
Right.
Gene Segura was the focal point of that trade. Haniger was a name we're going, all right, who's this guy? He felt like a throw-in. Obviously, you know, Jerry and everybody else knew much more about him. But the trade with San Diego was about Tremel. He was the high-end prospect in their organization. It wasn't about France. And he, not saying he's a throw-in, but he felt like he wasn't the focal point of the trade, yet he's the one who's really come to life and just been, and we'll see what happens with Tremel, super young guy, 23 years old. But France feels like he's the Haniger of the deal where, oh, wow, what about this guy? We didn't really talk about him when the trade happened, but look at what he does. Now he's a guy you're counting on. Now he's a guy you look at and go, well, he hits everything. We don't worry about him. We're worried about other people.
Yeah, played a little second base today, too. So it was, he's really fun to watch and just seems so solid in the box. But, you know, I was happy for Tom Murphy, too. He's 1-for-3, scored a run, and he had that awesome snap throw to J.P. Crawford got the, I can't remember who the runner was, but he was off base, and it was, I'm glad they challenged that. But, you know, he had that play, and then it was kind of interesting where he hit the catcher interference.
Yeah, that was weird.
Yeah, I had not seen anything like that before because, I remember talking to big league umpires before, how they call first outs at first base, it's the sound.
Yeah.
It's the snap and the plot. I can't remember what noise that they made, but same thing with that. I mean, you heard his bat hit something. It happened to be the catcher's mitt. So, but everybody thought that it was the ball. I think Tom Murphy's the only one that knew that.
Yeah. Well, and judging by the replays, it looked like he wasn't even
Grandel,
really sure.
Anyway.
Yeah. Keuchel heard it. You saw Keuchel up there arguing. He heard it. He couldn't see from his vantage point that it wasn't the bat and it was the glove. Yeah, that was a weird situation where the replay was 1,000% obvious. You're looking at it going, oh, it's his mitt. His bat wasn't even close to the ball. Yet everybody up there is confused, and they got the call right. That's all that matters is they got that right. And it was such a big win in light of everything that had gone on before this game, talking about last night's game. One more note about today's game. Evan White leaves with a quad strain, which – hopefully it's not serious. Hopefully they're just erring on the side of caution. They bring in Marmolejos, who comes up with a huge hit in this game, which was good to see. But he fills in at first base for Evan White. So there's one injury today. You go to last night's game. Man, James Paxton comes out in the first inning, and he looks lights out. He's one up, one down. Two up, two down. Three up, three down. Boom. He looks like he's picking up where he left off in spring. And then on the 21st pitch, you see him kind of moving around weird, like it looked like he was pushing on his hip or something. You're going, what's going on? And then he throws two more pitches, and everybody's going, what's going on with 24 pitches? He's out of the game. And you can the look on his face when he was walking off the field, I thought, oh, man, this is bad. Because he just looks so, like in his mind, he's just going, you got to be bleeping kidding me that this happened. And he looked so good in spring, and we were anticipating the start with so much. And to see it, 24 pitches, and he's out with an injury.
So disappointing. And going into the season, I thought the one thing if you could gift this team, it would be health. Because, look, you're on a track with the young guys developing, and you just want to see that happen without these things. And I don't know, it just seems like they've gotten their fair share of injuries so far. If you go back and look at what happened in spring training, Shed Long, Kelnick had an injury at one point. It's just, and especially disappointing for him. You know, was it Torrens that was catching him? I think that last came out night, when Paxton got hurt.
Yeah.
I think it was. It's amazing how those catchers are so in tune with the pitcher.
Oh, yeah. They're watching everything.
Because I was watching Paxton, and I couldn't necessarily tell whether there was something wrong or any kind of reaction, and he knew it right away.
Yeah.
He goes running out there. So I always kind of admired that, because you've seen that happen before, but these catchers, just how they take good care of their pitchers.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
yeah. You know what that reminded me of in – not to bring up a bad memory for you, but you talked about an offseason you had where you've dealt with injuries your whole career, which is what Paxton's had to go through.
Yeah.
And you talked about, I was in the best shape of my life, and I was feeling as good as I had felt in years, and you got hurt. And you talked about, I think you were almost in tears after that,
yeah.
Just after all of the work you put in, and it had been your story, unfortunately, is you're attached to injuries. That's Paxton, and he was talking the same thing about, man, I haven't felt this good in so long, and he had that back surgery, and I feel as good as I have in years, and then 24 pitches into his debut. And that's, I couldn't help but think of when you told that story about, yeah. I'd never felt better, and then boom, an injury.
Well, and that's the thing about it. That's part of being a pro. And this is why we talk about whether, and we'll be talking to Clayton about the draft and, you know, these young guys. That's part of it that some guys can't handle, you know, and it's difficult. And I could not be more sympathetic. My story was 94. I turned 30. I had a son. I'd just gotten married. And I'm like, I panicked. I was like, okay, I got to get in really good shape. I was in the best shape of my life, I think. For the first time ever for me, which is difficult, I think I had like 8% body fat. I was playing really good football. That's an all-time high by far for me. But then, yeah, and then so I go through preseason. I just come off my best season in Denver, and it was 3 days before the opener. And this is why they don't hit anymore during practice. We were full pads, full practice. Some guard they had just signed stumbled into my knee, blew my knee out. 3 days before the opener, it was a Sunday night game against the Chargers. I was so excited, and I knew it right away that I was going to be out at least 10 weeks, and I was. But, yeah, I just went into the shower, and, you know, I was in there early. I was the only one in there, and I just sat there and cried. Not because my knee hurt or anything. It was just because it's just so disappointing. I mean, all of that work just went down the tube. And so it's like, now I have to start all over again. So I really hope for Paxton, it's not something like that, where it's so serious that it's going to set him back. Because, you know, you get the other thing is, when you start putting games together and the confidence builds, you know, I think I had 33 straight starts, 88, 89, and then it got interrupted, but I felt my best then. Same thing within Denver, where I had, like, I don't know, it was probably 24 starts in a row going into that year, and then it just gets disrupted, and it's like you don't start over, because, you know, Paxton's a really good pitcher in this league, but it does, just not only physically but mentally, it takes you back, and that's the disappointing part about it. So, and then, you know, you throw in Evan White, possibly. I mean, he's one of those young guys we just don't want to see get hurt.
And Jake Fraley.
And Fraley.
Who made a great catch.
He did.
Great catch in that game.
I was trying to figure out, right? It's a hamstring, right?
Yeah.
But, I mean, I guess at one point when he was sprinting for that, that's the thing about outfielders. I mean, you got to really stay warm. You're sitting out there. A lot of times the ball doesn't come to you, and all of a sudden you're in a dead sprint.
Yeah, from a dead stop, standing still, to full speed.
Yep. So, yeah, that was really disappointing. And that's the one thing that will really bum me out. I don't mind the 10-4 loss last night. What I mind are the injuries and those setbacks. So,
yeah, the Paxton one, you just – I don't know. I guess every fan's different. I got on Twitter, obviously, and saw a reaction. There were some people out there that are, oh, of course, typical. He's made a fine China, blah, blah.
Yeah.
I'm like, I was more on the side of, oh, man, I was gutted for him, because the look on his face, he knows his story. He's not, he's not, he knows that he's associated with injuries, and that's been the downside to his career. And then that's what people talk about. Can he be healthy? And how long is he going to stay healthy? He hears all that. So why would you even take a shot at the guy? He's not trying to get hurt. I never understand that. I get being disappointed, but he's not out there trying. The guy's working his tail off, surgery, trying to get out there. And this goofy thing happens, and we'll see how long he's out. But just the look on his face walking off the field just gutted me. I felt so bad for him. He's a good dude. We just talked to him, 2 weeks ago?
Right.
You couldn't ask for a nicer guy. He just gets it. And to see that work that he put in to get to this point. We're all excited about him being a leader on this team, and then something like that happens. It just, I was like, oh, you got to be kidding me.
Well, and it's not like he's Deho Lee. I mean, some guy that's out of shape or something that, you know, doesn't look like he's working hard. He's been working his tail off. It's just incredibly disappointing. So, you know, hopefully he'll come back and, you know, it won't be as bad. I know that they're very careful with pitchers, and you have to be. You know, it's like, we'll talk to Ryan Roland Smith later on, but I mean, who was the pitcher? I remember we were talking to one time. It's like, do you ever look at your arm when you're throwing a baseball? Like, when you look at a still shot of it? And he was like, yeah, it looks really unnatural. It's actually kind of gross. I don't like looking at it. I can't remember.
It would hurt to look at a picture of your arm like that.
Yeah.
When you just start feeling a ghost pain.
Yeah, exactly.
Your arm's all distorted, and you could see the tendons in the elbow, and it looks like your hand's behind your ear, and your elbow's out in front of your chin. It's just, the torque on the elbow and the shoulder, it's just it really is weird to look at. And
I gotta say, you know, some of my favorite things about baseball are the throws. The throw by Murphy today down to second, he didn't have a huge, it was kind of a sudden throw, and I don't know, I want to say he was flat-footed, but kind of, and just zipped that thing down.
Snap
there.
Throw.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't know if that was more impressive or J.P. Crawford's tag was sweet. I mean, I played that in slow motion like three times, just watching him kneel right in front of the base, get right in the right position. The second, I mean, it's almost like the ball took his mitt to the guy's hip to tag him out. And it was just a beautiful play. But, yeah, the throws, some of the good throws you see, I mean, that is one of the – that's one of the more exciting plays that I like watching anyway. But with this young team, please stay healthy, please let that be it. I feel like they've had their fair share of injuries so far.
And you bring up Crawford, he's got a 3-game hitting streak going.
How about that?
Which is he's not tearing it out. He's hitting 190, but he's had a hit in each of the last 3 games. Keep in mind, this is a guy who was your leadoff hitter. And they bumped him down to ninth because it just wasn't happening. And Ryan Divish was on with us saying, man, I saw him hit 4 balls hard all spring.
Yeah.
And I don't know that they were 4 hits. He just made good contact 4 times. So he's got 3 games in a row where he's come up with a hit, and maybe he's starting to find a little rhythm. And if you have him in that ninth spot, and then you've got Haniger coming up right after him, who's been lights out so far, that's a nice 1-2 in the order if he can get things going.
Yeah, I want to say it was the bloop that went out into center. I think it was a changeup.
Yeah, kind of reached out for it.
He hung in there, and yeah, it was really nice. Now, he didn't hit it hard, but that's fine. It was a hit.
It's a line drive in the scorebook there.
There you go. And it was an RBI. So really, really nice to see him kind of get going too. But yeah, I don't know if he's going to hit the ball hard. I mean, maybe he's not that kind of guy, but if he can hang with a pitch like the way he did, that was pretty impressive.
Yeah, if he can just get on base. I mean, you want to hit, especially if there are runners on, certainly. But if he can get on base, he's a problem. He's a base-stealing threat. He causes that pitcher to be distracted from Mitch Haniger up there at the plate, who will be coming up after him. So all of a sudden, he's taking some of that attention away from what he's doing with Haniger and worried about the guy on first. So there's a tremendous amount of value to having J.P. Crawford on base because he is such a threat to steal. And it really does work on a pitcher and fatigue them, whether they're thrown over to first base repeatedly. You tend to see those things work out in favor of the offense. So hopefully he can find his way on base more often. 3 games in a row is what he's got going right now. I was just glad to see them. I was glad to see them pull one out. They lost the series. But they pull this game out before they take on the Twins. I think that's big. Again, they're 3-3. We're going to see the uneven play. We're going to see losing streaks. We've talked about it. We'll see winning streaks. But the health is the biggest thing. Hopefully none of them are serious. The most concerning, obviously, is with Paxton. We'll see what happens with Evan White with the quad and Jake Fraley, who when Kyle Lewis comes back, we forgot to mention his injury. He hasn't even played yet this year. So by the time he comes back, we all assume Fraley will be your fourth outfielder. But, stay healthy. Stay healthy. I'm still loving watching these guys. I just loved watching the comeback and watching them just gain a little momentum in this game. And, again, seeing Trammell, we've become so attached to this guy and his success and everything because he's such a great guy. Didn't that feel like a relief when he got his hit?
Yeah.
It came in a big situation. And he just was, and he drove in a run, and he was able to just feel the ball, just see it coming off his bat and not into a glove anywhere.
Right.
That's huge.
Yeah, it is for the young guys especially. So, and then, you know, putting a few, now they're going to go on the road. Hey, this was a tough test. I mean, I think most people have the Chicago White Sox winning the AL.
Their pitching is ridiculous. They went up. That might be some of the toughest pitching they face in a while.
Yeah. How about Rafael Montero? I mean, he got 3 strikeouts, the same amount as Justin Dunn did in 4 innings. He did in 1, but Justin, he'll hang in there. I like Justin Dunn. I think he'll be fine. But 3 strikeouts today, 16 pitches, 10 strikes. That was pretty impressive. Impressive performance by the closer there. So pretty happy with that. I mean, that was a big – Misavich came in, Gravy. Your guy Gravy, Will
Vest. Not as dominant. He had 2 walks. He wasn't what he was the other night, but he didn't give up any run, didn't give up any damage. I can live with guys giving up a hit or a walk, what have you, as long as they're going to eliminate the damage. And he did that. He wasn't dominant like he was the other night, but still, you look at him, he's got a 0 ERA. That's what I want.
Yep. Yep, and Montero looking really, really powerful as a closer. So that was nice. It was good to see. Good win. Now they're going on the road to Minnesota. Boy, can you imagine? It's same time tomorrow, so it'd be 4 o'clock Eastern, 1 o'clock here. But
there might be rain. We'll see what's going on out there, what the field is like.
Why do they not have a covered stadium?
What is that called? Target Field, right? Yeah. Target Field. They spend, I don't even know what they spend on it, hundreds of millions, maybe a billion. I don't know what it was. How do you not, in that market, in Minnesota, you're not playing in Miami. Yeah. You're not playing in San Diego. You need a roof. The season starts in April. It doesn't start in June. How do you invest that much money in a stadium and not have a retractable roof like the Mariners have?
Right. Did you just say Minnesota?
Did I say Minnesota?
Yeah, I thought you did.
Did I go Fargo on that?
Regional.
Watching too much Fargo, eh? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's good. So maybe we'll see what happens with the start. Hopefully it's not delayed. I want to see these guys play. I'm just excited to see them play every night and watch them develop and watch some of these guys. Again, small victories, right? J.P. Crawford with 3 hits in the last 3 games. Yeah, he's hitting 190, but that's a small victory. It's a step in the right direction.
Yeah, it's a good point. I mean, you look at Justin Dunn. I mean, that's a small victory. He didn't pitch well.
No.
But they won. They won the game. I mean, I think that, you know, catalog that in the back of your mind. So, nice to see. Good stuff. Kind of what we expect from this team. I think you said it best. We started the season. I'm not going to get too tweaked over the 10-4, you know, a loss. I'm not going to so much look at the record, even though I did say they were going to win 86 games, foolishly. But
hey,
we'll see. But it's just about performances and coming through. And yeah, I was just happy for Justin Dunn that they won this game. Not that he was, you know, a huge part of it, but I saw also that Keuchel was getting a few calls that he wasn't. I wonder how much of it I said I like complaining about the balls and strikes, but I thought early on he hit a spot that I thought Keuchel hit and got a strike. So
that's veteran respect right there.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Yep. Dunn's a young kid who hasn't earned it, in the eyes of some of these umps behind the plate. Keuchel's a veteran who's accomplished, and so he's going to, even though you look at his box score, he felt more dominant in watching him than he ultimately ended up being. He had 3 walks, 3 strikeouts,
right,
5 innings, gave up 3 runs. Not a great day for him either. So that's against a very good pitcher. So that's a nice effort out of this team. They're 3-3, Dave. So
yeah,
you're only 83 wins away from your prediction.
There we go. Let's hit it.
Yeah. You're only 83 away from your prediction. All right.
That's probably going to be right. What'd you, 80?
80.
You said? Yeah.
I hope one of you two are right. It'd be much better if one of you two guys are right than me.
Yeah, if it's 73, as long as they're taking the steps, developing.
Yeah, I think I'm going to be under. I honestly think they'll win more than 73 now, but we can't change. Those are the rules, so I have to stick with that. All right, big win for the Mariners, 8-4. We're going to come back, talk more Mariner baseball, get the thoughts, the wisdom of our favorite Bogan, Ryan Roland Smith. He's going to join us next here with Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle.
This is Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Dave Wyman and Bob Stelton.
Well, it's going to happen every single week here with Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle. We're going to bring in the one, the only, Ryan Roland Smith, our favorite Bogan, to talk some baseball with us. He's with us on the Issaquah Pest Control Hotline. I still don't know what a Bogan is, Ryan, but you don't seem to be offended by it, so we'll go with it.
I didn't get offended, you know what I mean? It is offensive. I should be offended.
Oh, really?
It's an Australian hillbilly. Is that right?
Exactly. Dave's the one who brought that term to air, by the way. He loved it. He just ran with it. I was like, hey, you can't be saying that. No, it's basically like a redneck Australian, I guess.
Well, I mean,
slogan.
He likes hillbillies.
You had your beautiful wife and beautiful kids at a monster truck pole where there was a big machine that was breathing fire, and you were there going yeehaw, you know. I'm like, that's a bogan right there.
That's right. And the first person I sent the photos to was you, Dave. I texted and said, check this out. And the sad thing was, well, I was looking over old photos the other day, like a memory popped up on my phone, and I'm like, I've got my one-year-old child there, and I remember going to that thing. Oh, he won't need earmuffs. It's not going to be that loud. But sure enough, we had him. We're all good. So, you know, hopefully child services doesn't come after me. But no, he's all good. He can hear.
You had the earmuffs on your child. So, yeah, there was no hearing.
I didn't need them.
Yeah, responsible parent.
I didn't need them.
I like that Ryan said, I should be offended, but I'm not.
Yeah.
Well, Ryan, let's talk about this Mariner team, which, you know, Dave and I have spent so much time talking about them and getting excited about the youth and the potential and, you know, what we're going to see. And then they win the series against the Giants and we're feeling good. And then, man, it's amazing how one moment can sort of just wash everything away. And that's 24 pitches of James Paxton, who everybody way. He looked phenomenal in spring. He was amazing in spring, and you're just trying to, you know, picture what it's going to look like in the regular season, how helpful he's going to be. And we still don't know the extent of the injury, but give me your thoughts on a guy who that's been his history. That's been his story, and I can't even believe it. His first outing, and he leaves after 24 pitches.
I know, it was shocking, man. I'm sitting there watching, and I was texting James. We've become buddies, you know, the last couple of years, and we're texting back and forth. First of all, in the off season, he's a guy that, you know, the off season kicks off, and he's going to be a free agent. And the first conversations he was having, like, hey, do I have to like throw for teams to show I'm healthy and everything? And, no, you're good. We're going to get these offers. Sure enough, January rolls around and nothing, and all of a sudden, yeah, his mindset changes a little bit, saying, man, I might have to go out and prove myself that I'm healthy, that I'm still, you know, the big maple James Paxton. And I think that was something that's not necessarily a bad thing. You're on a spring training on a 1 year deal and you have to go prove yourself, and that helps guys so much because they don't just cruise into spring training and quote unquote get their work in. And I was texting him, he said, hey man, I feel amazing. This is the first time in the last 2 years I'm fully recovered from my back. There's no like days where it feels good sometimes and it doesn't. I feel 100%. My velocity is great. Yet everything else. And now I turned away from the TV for 2 seconds and there he is. And he pulls up lame. That was a real bummer because you talk about all this youth, but there is some stories here with guys like James Paxton. You want to see just have an absolute breakout, get back to what he was doing, Maple Grove, you know, once the fans come back in, all these little things, and you hope it's not too serious.
Yeah, how frustrating is that, Ryan? I mean, especially since what you said. You know, do you ever have anything like that where you just felt great, like Paxton does, and then, you know, your body? I mean, when you look at what your body goes through and your arm and your shoulder and everything, it's very unnatural, puts a lot of strain on your body. But, you know, it's got to be particularly frustrating when, you know, you feel good, you feel like you can pitch, and your body's just not allowing you.
Yeah, 2009, at the beginning of the season, you know, first of all, 2008, going back to then, I got my first major league start, and it was always a question, oh, you know, can Ryan start? Is he good enough? Is he good enough to be a major league pitcher? Yeah, yada, all that kind of stuff. Well, I go into 2009, we got a brand new coaching staff, new GM, the whole deal. I didn't go to the World Baseball Classic because I wanted to go in and prove myself, win that spot. It was out of myself, and Brandon Morrow was up for that last spot in the rotation, and I pitched so well in spring training. I came out of the gates firing. And I killed it. I got that rotation spot. I felt amazing. My first start, I come out, didn't feel great. And the next day, Rick Adair, the pitching coach, says, hey, man, I want to work with you mechanically on something. I'm like, hey, man, I'm kind of not feeling too good. I pitched 12 hours ago. You know, I threw like 75, 80 pitches 12 hours ago, dude. Like, I need to recover. He wanted me on the mound. Sure enough, I get on the mound. All of a sudden, my elbow just blows up. It just gets swollen. All this fluid goes in my elbow. I'm like, you got to be kidding me, man. I was in such a great mindset. I had that you know, fight back in my head, the whole thing. And I literally couldn't drive the car home because once the plane landed, I'm trying to drive the car. I couldn't even turn the steering wheel. That's how much it was killing me.
When it comes to young guys, at what point would you start to worry? I'm thinking of our guy, Taylor Trammell, who we just love. We just fell in love with this guy. Yeah. Just a great personality. He looks really overwhelmed at the plate. He looks overmatched. I mean, I think he's got 10 strikeouts and about 14 at-bats. Do you give him a couple months, couple weeks? When do you sort of make a judgment on him?
Usually, you like to give these guys, and look, you mentioned some of these young players. April is a crucial month when you're a young player because you want to get to the major leagues, even if you've got a bit of time the year prior. I mean, last year was 60 games. But you want to come out of the gates with a really good foundation. You know, when you're looking up, you got that huge, giant Jumbotron scoreboard just staring you in the face with your average and your, you know, OSBPA 8.6, whatever the numbers are, the sabermetrics are now that you've hit your batting average, your home runs, RBIs. You want to be able to get to, you know, a place where you're like, man, you feel like you got a bit of a foundation. And as crazy as that sounds, you don't want to get too result orientated. But I do have to say, they've just come off facing some of the toughest pitching. The Chicago White Sox are no joke. That is a good team. Really good team on the offense and defense, and especially on the pitching. And you have Taylor Trammell not playing last year, coming in facing Giolito, then Dallas Keuchel, who just completely can dice you up in 2 seconds. Man, it can really shatter you. It really can.
All right, that does it for us. Short show. Mariner baseball cutting into everything, but a big win, 8-4. We're going to be back tomorrow after the Mariner game. We'll see what happens with the weather, but as soon as they wrap things up, we will be on the air with Wyman and Bob right here on 710 ESPN Seattle.